mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. We are dealing with verse number 20 of the book of Jude. And as you know, this thought of prayer is before us. There are seven things in these final verses that mark the life of the saint. First of all, in verse number 20, there's building. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Then praying. When you come to verse number 21, keeping. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Then verse number 21 again, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Verse number 22, making a difference. Verse 23, pulling them out of the fire. Then, of course, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Seven things that mark the life of the believer. But we're beginning to unveil this in this particular verse. Praying. We've talked about praying already, but we've just touched on it. Let's continue that thought tonight if we may. Praying is one of the most important things you'll ever do. Prayer is a muscle of faith. Prayer is the muscle of faith. I've stood and watched rockets hurl the spaceships into space. You can literally feel the shaking of the earth beneath your feet, and inside your body, you can feel the shaking going on. Power. Millions of pounds of thrust to hurl these spacecraft into space. And they go to the moon, or they go to Mars, and they go out there and look around to see what's going on. But I've watched little women fold their hands before God, and more power and more thrust than all of those rockets, because it hurled her prayers into where God is. No rocket can reach there, but the humble little prayer of a saint moves out of the realm of this world into the realm where God is. What power. What power. And I rehearse this in your ears again. That power is the Holy Ghost power of God Almighty. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Prayer without the Holy Ghost is just words. Anyone can speak words. And anyone can act reverently speaking words. But words with power, words that reach into another world. You look at the individual and see no major difference than what you are. But when they open their mouths and begin to speak heavenward, something is different. The magnitude of your prayer is measured directly by the magnitude of the power of the Spirit of God within you. Prayer is not just words. Prayer is not something that man has invented to satisfy his own psyche. 1,000 times no. Prayer is our connecting link with God in a personal way. And it's something that most of us do far too infrequent. God help us to begin, even tonight, to begin to build our prayer life. Pray more. You have not because you ask not. And he tells us to ask. James said that we ask and we ask amiss, that we might consume it upon our own lust. Prayer is not for the believer to begin to gain things from God. Prayer is so the believer can experience God. Not every believer experiences God. That's why you can sit in the house full of believers and some will be rejoicing and others just sitting there waiting for somebody to say amen so they can go out the door without being an embarrassment. Some are sitting there saying, keep on, preacher, keep on, preacher. And others are saying, when will he shut up so I can go home and watch the bonanza? Boy, I'm behind time, aren't I? The difference is the measure of our prayer life before God. How hungry am I to hear from God? If I've prayed, then my prayer life has caused me to get hungry to hear from God. I hear from Him in a personal way, but I need to hear from Him from the man of God. God has so designed this thing that He gives us men to teach us. And those whom He has filled with His Spirit and given the ability to teach, those are the ones that we want to hear. We're living in an age of what I call margarine Christian. Not marginal Christians, but margarine Christian. You know what that is, don't you? Hypocrite. Margarine is a hypocrite butter. That's right. I mean, they make it look like butter. They wrap it like butter. And they even say it tastes like butter. But it's not butter. It's not butter. If it's not butter, it's not butter. I walked in a restaurant a while back, and when they brought the meal, I said, is this margarine or butter? She said, oh, it's margarine. I said, well, do you have anything around here that's DNA goes back to a cow somewhere, anywhere? Well, no, all we have is this. I said, yeah, the DNA goes back to a Michelin tire somewhere. God help us. But we as believers are living in that kind of a circumstance. We don't need to be margarine believers. We need to be butter believer. Better butter believer. Greater believers. And how do we become greater believers? Prayer. Praying in the Holy Ghost and expecting God to answer our prayer. I say again, praying in the Holy Ghost. It's not just praying in the building and praying in the meeting. It is praying in the Holy Ghost. God's good Holy Spirit, Paul said, He makes groanings, utterings that we can't even understand ourselves. He presents our case before God. Isn't that marvelous? Let me say it to you like this. We are weak. He is powerful. We are ignorant. He is wisdom. And in our ignorance, when we pray, and all of us pray in ignorance. And when we pray in ignorance, the wisdom of the Holy Ghost overshadows our ignorance and presents wisdom to the throne of God. It's like taking our own language and changing it to another and saying what God would have us say to Himself. I think we miss the blessing of prayer so often. But it takes prayer to move through the universe and get to God. In Luke chapter number 11, our Lord says in verse number 13, the latter part of that verse, how much more shall your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit? Watch this, to them that ask Him. I've sat in seminary classrooms and listened to professors. And I've sat in meetings and listened to preachers. And I hear all of these formulas for prayer. And in every case, I walk out shaking my head and saying, why don't we just do what Jesus said do? Ask. How much more simple can it be? Why? Why do we complicate the matter? Jesus said ask. All of us are good at asking. Now, all of us have, in our pride, we've said one to another, well, I don't want to ask anybody. I don't want to ask. Let me tell you something. I'll ask God for whatever I want. Will you? Are you willing to take what you want before God? Are you willing to take your request to the God of the universe and really believe that He is capable of answering our prayers? Knock.
Let me magnify that thought again. Jesus said, ask, seek, knock. Now watch this. Asking verbally, seeking continually, bombarding heaven with your desire. So, well, I only have to ask God one time. Let's get back to what Jesus said, not what you think. Ask, seek. We continue. And then we knock. We get to the point to where we're desperate. Have you ever been desperate in prayer? Now, honestly, don't just say yes for no reason. Have you ever really been desperate in prayer? Do you know what you're doing in desperation? You're knocking. You're getting to the point to where you need to hear from God now. God, hear my prayer. There is no greater example of prayer and prayers than Jesus. Do you know what Jesus did? Ask. Here is our example. Now you would think if all of this other stuff is true, that Jesus would have gone through this long circumstance of leading up to prayer. Jesus just asked the Father. And he expected the Father not just to hear, but to answer him. Let me show you what prayer did for Jesus. Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Did you catch that? Right in the middle of that prayer, the Father answered him, and he realized the answer, and he said, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. That surrender in the garden is the reason you're in this building tonight.
Yes, sir.
That prayer in that surrender is the reason we're born again. Because had he not surrendered at that point, there would have been no cross. Thank God for prayer. Thank God for prayer. Ask, seek, knock. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. I love this passage. This is the confidence we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. I like that. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Do you pray for God to hear? How many of us have been sitting in a room or maybe just in a company of people and you just kind of mumble something to someone else, not really caring whether they hear you or not? Do you understand where I am? You hear, you've all done that, every last one of you. I'm fearful that most of us do that with God. We just kind of mumble and don't really care whether He hears us or not. We don't really expect Him to hear us. John said, we know that He heareth us. And if we know He heareth us, then the petition that we've asked, how about that? It's ours. Do you believe God will so answer your prayers? The book says it's so. I tried to teach people when we were in the pastorate, don't go asking the pastor so much. Don't go asking the doctor so much. If most of us would realize that doctors are practicing, they're constantly practicing. They don't claim to be masters at what they do. I think I'd rather go to Dr. Jesus first. You mark her down. When I have an ailment, I don't run to the doctor. I run to Jesus. The greatest of physicians is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I might have to go after a while, but my first trip is to Dr. Jesus. Some years ago, I was facing some surgery, and the doctor said, would you like a second opinion? I said, I already have a first opinion. You are the second. And he asked me, he said, well, who did you consult first? I said, Dr. Jesus. Now, he's an Indian. He thinks a cow is his mama. And he said, I know why you came to me second then. Listen, Dr. Jesus is the first trip you need to make. Don't we have a terrific example of that in the Scripture? Many of them, as a matter of fact. But here is a woman who has spent her living trying to get rid of an issue of blood. And one day, Jesus is passing by, and the Holy Ghost said to her, said, why don't you go up there and touch the hem of his garment, and you can walk out of here healed. She made her way through the disciples and just reached to touch the hem of our Lord's garment. And the instant she touched his garment, the issue of her blood was dried up and she was made whole. Would to God we would but touch the hem of his garment. And we have the same privilege she had. Our prayers reach further than the hem of his garment. Our prayers reach his heart. Thank God. Thank God for prayer. You're not always going to be able to catch up on your prayer life. There'll be times that things will happen and you'll wish 1,000 times that you had more time to pray, but your prayer time's gone. This issue has to be cared for before you can pray. So you need to always be in a spirit of prayer. That's why Paul said, I would that men pray always, lifting up holy hands to God. Prayer, what a marvelous thing. The timing of prayer is often off key. Most of us never pray till we have to. I mean, it gets to the point to where you just have to pray. A preacher friend of mine years ago said, that kind of prayer just kind of glances off the moon and just runs around in space for time and eternity. Doesn't get far. I think even further, most of that kind of praying just gets to the ceiling if it gets that far. Desperation prayers. Now, desperation prayer is fine as long as it's been first off. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about knocking. You're desperate, but you've been doing this along the way. But in this circumstance, desperation is just when the event happens, you begin to cry to God. Yeah. Help, help, help. Yeah. Maybe you ought to have a relationship with him before that time comes. Maybe you'd have the kind of fellowship with him that you know he's present at all times. You don't have to call him up because you've been talking to him and he's with you at all times. Might be a good thing to do. I want to look at something in a moment, here for a moment, and we'll close our study tonight. Our Lord gives us a model prayer. Matthew chapter 6, Luke chapter number 11. And in that model prayer, he shows us how we're to pray. The disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. They didn't say, teach us how to pray. They said, teach us to pray. Yes. I think more so we need to be taught to pray rather than how to pray. Yes. Because we have the relationship of the Holy Spirit. And let me magnify this thought again. Prayer without the Holy Ghost is still on the launching pad. It is concrete bound. You're not going anywhere. But the instant the Holy Ghost comes on the scene, you're out of here. Jesus said, when you pray, do it like this. Now, I have taken this model prayer and divided it into three sections. The first section begins with our Father, and it recognizes his kinship, our Father. The first section is praise. You'll see that. The second section is the petition, and the third section is adoration. Now, if you follow our Lord's pattern, then surely, surely, you'll get a prayer answered. Look at it. Our Father, a recognition of his kinship. He is my Father. Who am I praying to? I'm praying to my Heavenly Father. We have a kindred relationship. And because we have a kindred relationship, he knows me, I know him, and we are conversant. Now you have kinfolks that you're not conversant with. You better be conversant with this one. Definitely so. Our Father, who art in heaven. Here is a recognition of His whereabouts. Where is God? His dwelling place is beyond the stars. But that doesn't mean that He is not here. When I pray, I don't have to scream so God can hear me. Now, I might get fervent in prayer and raise my voice, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that it's wrong to raise your voice in prayer. Not at all. But I don't have to do that. And the reason I don't have to do that is because He is not only in heaven, He is here. The Holy Ghost is within me. Some of my greatest praying, as far as I'm concerned, never brings a word from my mouth. It is the inner counseling of my soul with the Spirit of God Almighty. Hallowed be Thy name, a recognition of His holiness. God is holy. Thy kingdom come, a recognition of His kingship. Thy will be done, submission to His authority, His sovereignty, if you will. Then we come to the petition part. Give us this day. Here is a request for urgent and basic needs. Give us this day our daily bread. That's what He did for Israel in the wilderness. Yes. On a daily basis, He supplied their food. Forgive us our debts. Here is a request to be in right standing with Him. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, a request for divine protection over my walk. Lord, let me know where to put my next step. Guide me so much so that I'm not led into temptation. But deliver us from evil. A request for divine deliverance. Not only divine protection, but divine deliverance. I would magnify that thought, but I must hurry on. Deliverance is actually from evil. It's from the evil one. Deliver me from the evil one. Deliver me to where I don't have to be even faced with the devil today. That might be a good prayer to pray on a daily basis. Yes, now the petition section is over. The praise and the petition now. We come to this thing of adoration. So we have praised Him. We have made our petition. Now we adore Him. Adoration comes after some acquaintance. Do you get that? Adoration comes after you've known someone for a spell. You can adore anyone that you don't know. Did you understand that? Now you may be attracted to someone you don't know, and you may have all kinds of emotional endeavors of someone you don't know, but you can't adore someone you do not know. So here's the closing of the prayer. Thine is the kingdom, a recognition of His kingship now. Kinship before, kingship now. Thine is the power. Here is that recognition of that sovereignty that we talked about moments ago. Power. Dynamos. Thine is the dynamite. Yeah. If we had some means of saying it our translating it into the vernacular of today, it would be, here is the hydrogen bomb. Thine is the hydrogen bomb. Yeah. You see, the power of God is not measured by all of these things we know. How on God's earth can you measure the power of one who speaks into existence the universe? You don't measure that power. Thine is the power. Thine is the dynamos and the glory, a recognition of the glory of God. Power and glory. Glory is that outstrips power and says, here is the beyond of all things.
Amen.
He is glorious. Power takes the basement seat to glory. Really, there are no words in the English language to express glory. Let me show you how weak the English language is to express it. Brightness. That's brightness. There's at least one or two of you that are relatively bright. Brightness. How weak a description that is. How weak that is to explain or to tell us the glory of God. Thine is the glory. That outstrips every other attribute known to God and man. When you see the sunrise in the morning, that's not even a flicker of a flashlight compared to the glory of God. Glory. Then a recognition of the sovereign duration. Forever. Forever. How long is forever? You just stripped a gear. How long is forever? When did forever begin? When will forever end? You see, we're talking about something that we don't even know a whole lot about because we're just a little speck in the middle of this forever. And we're trying to wrap our brains around all of that when we're just this little speck somewhere in the duration of forever. Forever. Explain forever to me, if you will. I asked one of my seminary professors so many years ago, you wouldn't even believe it. But I asked my seminary professor, I said, can you explain forever to me? And he went through this little thing of a bird taking a grain of sand from the seashore and taking it and depositing it on the mountain. And when all the sand of the seashore has built this great mountain, eternity has just begun. Well, fine. Tell me what eternity is. Tell me how long forever is. I'm telling you one more time, you can't wrap your brain around it because you see, we are so small in this measure of eternity.
Yeah.
Here is something that faith alone can look at.
Yeah.
Faith alone can believe forever.
Yeah.
But faith transcends forever. Glory transcends forever. Sovereignty outstrips forever. Our Father outlives forever. So He'll be there when you need Him. Just ask Him. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Father, oh my Father, what a marvelous privilege it is for we who are but flesh, we who are so finite, to be able to address the sovereignty of sovereigns, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. What a privilege. And yet what a responsibility we bear in our prayers. Oh God, hear us tonight. I pray for every soul before me, for everyone who would love to be here and cannot. I pray for the sick. both of flesh and spirit. And I pray you rejuvenate our hearts in prayer. Oh, Lord, teach us to pray. In Jesus' name, amen.